Radio.
Forgiveness, a talk given by Bishop Julian Porteous at the Alive Again Catechesis at Trinity Catholic College, Auburn, on the 25th of May, 2012.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you tonight. That skit we just saw, I felt was really powerful. I think it really spoke. I saw it during the week, and I found it really spoke to me. And I'd like just to share a little bit about that, just reflect on what we just witnessed tonight, because I really think it speaks about the reality that we all experience in life. Who here in this room tonight does not have any baggage? So what I mean is, who's gone through life and there've been no real issues? Is there anyone here who can say that all your experiences have been good? Really good. I have no complaints about anything that's happened, anybody in my life. It's been a dream run. Can anyone claim that my life has been just a constant stream of good experiences? There have been no downers. Now, I don't think, I might be wrong, I don't think anybody's going to put their hand up. Does anybody want to say life has been perfect? Everything's gone exactly the way I wanted it to go? No. No. This is reality. This is what we all experience. We have hurts, times, disappointments. And we know too, we have our moments of failure, shortcomings. That's the human reality. That's the reality of life. So as well as things have happened to us, we also know that we too have made mistakes at different times. Maybe sometimes just somehow, I don't know why it happened, but suddenly just a whole lot of anger flowed out of me and I just said something or did something, and after I feel really lousy about what actually happened. Or perhaps I can be aware, yeah, there have been times I've just been downright selfish. And I just have really wanted what I want and don't care about anybody else. And maybe at times, I don't know why I've done it, but somehow I've just wanted to hurt somebody, and normally somebody close to me. This is, sadly, but truthfully, this is a reality of all of our lives. I suppose we do need to put a word on it. I think you know what the word is. Three-letter word, starts with S. Sin. That's what it is. I suppose there are two parts of sin, though. There's a fact, too, that we ourselves can be the victims of sin, that somehow or other, the sin of others, the sin around us in the world, the evil, the darkness, whatever, impacts on our life in one way or another. We saw some examples of that in the skit tonight, that we ourselves suffer under the sin of others. But we also know that we contribute to that, somehow we are also at times the perpetrators of sin. And I think that skit tonight really captures what in fact happens. That somehow as our life unfolds, we do just seem to pick up baggage. Maybe for some of us it's not too much to handle. We can get along carrying this stuff, you know, one over one shoulder, both hands perhaps. We're getting along, we're managing with that baggage. But perhaps there are others here tonight who just feel this bag, like that guy, it just is enormous. The baggage just is so much. And maybe it's not my fault, but it's my reality, that this baggage just seems to be so much in my life. So what I'd like to do tonight is just to reflect a little bit with you about how can we deal with this baggage in our life. And I think there are really three options, three ways in which we deal with baggage. The first one is we can try and forget it. Okay, that happened. I'm going to get on with my life. That's all right. I'll just push it over there. I'll bury it. Perhaps I'll just say, look, it didn't happen. Don't want to know about it. That's one possibility. Another possibility is we can react to it. We can be angry, and we can find ourselves acting out in some way because of this baggage, because we feel that we've been done a hard deal, a rough deal in life. Or we can find the ways in which we can deal positively with the baggage, ultimately to set us free, ultimately to get this baggage off our backs, out of our hands, and like the guy in the skit, to be set free from this increasing burden that he was finding building up in his life. So maybe there are three possibilities. I'd like just to explore these, and maybe as I explore them, we can think about the way in which we've been handling our baggage to date, what we've been doing with it, what sort of effect it's had on us, and how we've responded to it. So let's look at the idea of burying our bad experiences. I guess it's always an attractive thing because it seems to be the best way immediately we can handle it in a good way. To say, look, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to try and react to this. I'll just forget it. I'll just put it to one side. I'll try to get on with my life. But in a way, you know, when you bury something, it's still there. And I guess sometimes, particularly when things have happened to us or things that we ourselves have done that have been really serious, that even though we might push it down and try to pretend it isn't what it is, it does somehow still stay there. And it's very easy to become like a poison that kind of eats away at us. You know, I try to forget an injustice. Something was done to me that was just not right. That wasn't fair. That shouldn't have happened. And even though I've tried to put it away and not deal with it, I find myself just suddenly becoming angry at something. And it's not related necessarily to what happened to me, but it's like there's something inside me that's still there, and every now and again it comes out of the surface. And I'm surprised in one way. I didn't think I was like that. I didn't think I was that sort of person, but somehow there's this something in me that somehow comes up to the surface often in unexpected ways. And when I try to bury something I've done wrong, it still lies in me unresolved. And I guess one of the fruits of that is if we've done some things, we find ourselves a bit out of sorts. You know, we're not quite right in ourselves. Somehow, you know, we just get a bit angry with the world around us, or we find ourselves wanting to be somehow be a bit of a pain to others. I don't know why I do that, but I just want to be a pain. In one sense, I want to kind of hurt somebody, and I don't know why. I don't want to be like that, but somehow it just happens. You know, I just find myself doing it. And when these things happen, I can still say there's something in me that isn't right. There's something still deep within me that's causing me to be like this, and really making me into a person I don't really want to be. I don't want to be like this, but somehow this is what happens. So I think if we don't deal with things, we don't face them, they remain unresolved. They stay within us, and one way or another, they still affect us, and they're holding us back. They are very much the burdens, the baggage we just end up having to carry in our life. So this, I don't believe, is an answer. Let's look at the second possibility. And it's very tempting, isn't it? You know, we sometimes hear people say, don't get mad, get even. And you think, yeah, that's what I'll do. And so we start finding ourselves wanting to hurt. He hurt me, so I'm going to hurt him back, and then we'll be square. An eye for an eye. And so the darkness, the blindness increases. Yeah, we find ourselves in a desire to get it even. We sort of say, look, they deserve it. Or we comment, it's not fair that they should go on and live their lives because of what they did to me. They may not be aware of it, or they may seem to be going on being successful and life is going on for them, and they don't realise what they did to me and how that hurt me, that affected me, and therefore I don't think it's fair that they should be able to keep going with their lives and not pay for what they did. Now Jesus said, you've got to remove the plank from your own eye before you try to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. So we know this isn't really the answer. And we know that it doesn't work. And somehow it just builds up a negativity in my life. And indeed that negativity spreads the lives of others around me. So let's look at a third option. Is there a way that we can deal with the baggage, both the things that we ourselves have suffered, as well as the things that we may have done to others? Is there a way of dealing with this in a positive way so we get a good outcome? And I guess, I believe there is, very much there is, but I guess this is not the easiest and most natural path that most of us would want to take. It's a difficult path. And the path is a path of forgiveness. And this is, for many people, sadly, the path less travelled. But this is a path Jesus took. And this is a path that Jesus asked us to take. And Jesus expressed it in no more striking and powerful a way than when he was on the cross, nailed to a cross, being scorned and rejected, being deserted by his friends, seeming in the darkest moment of his life, when he seemed to have nothing, absolute nothing. And there on the cross, he could cry out to his Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Not only the soldiers who hammered in the nails, not only the man who scourged him, not only the chief priests who said, crucify him, but all those people who all he did was come to love and come to show the mercy and kindness of God. All those people he healed, the blind who now see, the lame who now walk, where are they now? Here I am, utterly alone. Here I am, suffering horribly, absolutely deserted. And yet from his heart comes these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In a way, I think, those words were words not only for the people of his time, but they're also words for us, because in a way too, each one of us have caused the suffering he went through. Because ultimately, he's on the cross for us. Ultimately, he's on the cross for me. He's on the cross because he wants to say to his Father, for me, Father, forgive them. This was a moment in which that's what happened. He made that sacrifice and said, Father, I stand as your son on behalf of all humanity for all time. I stand here before you, suffering, alone, rejected in the darkest moment of my life, and I cry out, Father, let your mercy and your forgiveness flow out upon all humanity. Wash clean all of humanity from the sin that has grown and developed over the long history of humanity. Jesus took the path of forgiveness. And he asks us also to take the path of forgiveness. And in a way it starts in us. You know, Jesus said that we need to be able to forgive ourselves, begin to forgive from our own life, in order to be able to really receive the fullness of forgiveness. In the Our Father we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And in a way, until we enter into the paths of forgiveness ourselves, we're not going to be able to benefit from and receive the fullness of the forgiveness that Jesus wants to pour out upon us. So I think we have to look for a moment about this question of unforgiveness in our lives. I often like to use the word cancer, and I think it's the right word to use for unforgiveness. You know, cancer eats away at the vital organs. Isn't it true? You know, when somebody's done something to us, or we've really been hurt by some situation, really feel rejected, really feel unloved, whatever has happened to us, that we find ourselves sitting and stewing of what happened, and our minds race with all sorts of thoughts about how we can react to this experience. And that's what I find, that there is within me these discordant movements that cause me at times to lash out at others. And what I realize when I stop and think is, I'm hurting inside. And the things that I'm doing is because I haven't dealt with what happened to me. And the reason that I find myself being angry, lashing out, being unreasonable, being difficult, wanting to have my way, I realise it's because inside me there is something eating away at my vital organs. I'm hemorrhaging. And I'm struggling to know how to deal with it. I realise, and I know only two of my own experience, that forgiving others for what they've done to me is a tough ask. It's a very difficult path to take. And I have to say that I think as human beings, it's a very difficult thing for us to do. We can partially forgive perhaps, but then we find ourselves going back and remembering again what happened and finding ourselves again not really forgiving, not really accepting the other person. We need help to do this. We can't do it ourselves. We can't forgive others just by ourselves, from ourselves. And that's when we need to turn to someone who can, the someone who is a perfect witness and example of forgiveness. What Lauren was speaking about, that source of divine mercy, Jesus himself. That's the place, that's the person, that's the means by which forgiveness can flow in upon our hearts and our lives. I really like the phrase that Jesus is the healer of my soul, the healer of my soul. And when we start to move on this path of forgiveness, forgiving others, we start to allow our hearts, if you like, that hard exterior that we've built up, we've allowed to build up, starts to break away. And then we find ourselves actually being able to be subject to being forgiven. And we find forgiveness starts to come in to our own hearts and into our own lives. And we say, we realise that we too can seek paths of forgiveness. I want to be forgiven by God. And I want to open myself to that forgiveness from God. There's a prayer we say at the beginning of Mass, and we say it again just before we receive Holy Communion. It's very simple, but I find it myself very powerful. We just simply say, Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. And I think when we reach that point in our own life and in our own reflection upon ourselves, that I can turn to God, say the beginning of Mass, or just before I'm about to come up and receive Holy Communion, and I can just look at my own reality, look at my own frailty, my own weaknesses. I can just stand there before God for this moment and say, Lord, have mercy. I think that's the moment we've reached the deep truth about ourselves. That's the moment in which we've come to that place where we've really faced the ultimate reality of who we are. And in that moment, in that place, something starts to happen. Mercy does start to come. Mercy does start to flow in our lives, in our hearts. God wants to pour out his mercy upon us. God wants to come to rescue us from the hardness that's grown up in our hearts. God wants to refresh and revive our spirits. And he'll do that when we ourselves will walk this path of saying, Lord, firstly, I do want to forgive others. And then secondly, being able to really genuinely say, and Lord, I need you to forgive me. You know, I think all of us, and right through life, need a bit of heart surgery every now and again. I'm not talking about a physical heart surgery, I'm talking about the heart, which is the heart of us, the centre, the focus of our being, what there is at the very depths of me as who I am, that we do need some surgery. We do need, in our own hearts, to have someone deal with our hearts. And what this is, simply, is asking for the divine physician. And the place where this can happen, if you like the operating theatre, if you want to put it that way, is the confessional. And that's what we do when we go to confession. We say, Lord, I'm here to get some heart surgery. I'm here to get my heart restored and redeveloped. And this is the place where we can begin to be set free and grow and flourish as human beings. So I'd like to offer you firstly this thought, what is in my heart? As I look in the very depths of myself, as I just put aside everything else and I say, what is there? And is there stuff there that I need to deal with? Because I know if I don't deal with it, it's like those guys, I'm just carrying all this baggage and somehow life is getting more and more difficult. Somehow, if I don't deal with the baggage, I'm just being weighed down in my life. This is a way. There is a way which we can deal with our baggage. So I guess it's to say I'm going to look at myself, honestly, sincerely. I look at what's there because what's there has come to me through the passage of my life. And I want to deal with it. You know, I guess it's often easy for us to see the ways that others have hurt us and damaged us. And I think we do need to see those things and begin that process of forgiving those people, remembering those situations, of saying to the Lord, Lord, that really hurt me. That action, that those words, whatever, cut me to the heart. Lord, there is a deep wound there. Can you lay your hand upon that wound and heal that wound? I forgive the person. I want to forgive the person. I want that incident to be fully healed. So in one sense, we can see those things and we can deal with them. Probably the harder thing is for us to really be honest with ourselves about the ways in which we have failed, the ways in which we have sinned. And I guess it's always easy for us to make excuses and to justify things and say, oh, wasn't that bad, or I didn't really mean it, and I'm sure it didn't have that bad effect. We can easily rationalize and justify what we've done wrong and minimize its significance and its importance. But again, if we do that, if we don't really face it, it's staying there. It's when we do actually honestly face it and say, yeah, that's what it is. That's the moment that I can then say, Lord, I bring it to you and say, Lord, forgive me. One of the things we could say, well, can't I just do this in my prayer? Can't I just, like tonight, just sit for a moment, or when I go home or whatever, can I just, why do we need to go to a priest for confession? Why do we need to approach the priest? I guess it is tempting for us to say, look, I'll just deal with it in my heart. It's a little bit easier that way. But I guess if you think about, if you had a very close friend and something happened, misunderstanding perhaps, or you said something, or and their relationship is damaged, that's a good friend. You don't want to lose that friendship because of this particular thing that happened. You know, it's not enough to say, look, I'll just try and move things along. You know, you've actually got to go and say to the friend, look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You've actually got to put it into words, haven't you? Haven't just got to want things to be better. You've actually got to go and do something to the friend to show that you genuinely want to restore the relationship. Yeah, how often when you're growing up, when you know, if you're an older brother or sister and you hurt your little brother and sister, pinch something from them or, you know, do something to hurt them and they're crying and your parents go to you and say, now you say sorry to your little brother and sister. That, you know, you say sorry. You know, we do need to do things, and we need to put into words the fact that we are sorry. And that's what confession is. Confession is the way which we put into words, and we, if you like, have the opportunity by speaking directly to a priest who is really just the vehicle by which we're able to talk to God. And we know that when we come before the priest, it's not the priest we're really talking to. What we're really doing is we're talking to God. And we know we can just come in the confessional and be completely transparent. We know the priest will never reveal what's happened, and the priest will straight away want to just forget it. He's there to be the instrument of God's mercy and forgiveness. And so we can come, and the going to the priest is the way in which we can actually go directly before God and place our stuff before God in honesty and humility. And I think there's nothing better than when we hear the words, and I absolve you from your sins. Because you know at that moment, those sins are forgiven. You don't have to wonder, did God hear? Did God actually forgive me? Am I right now? You know that. You know that. Because at that moment, the priest has said, in and through the church, and by the authority that was given to the church, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. So you know then that that moment when the priest says, I absolve you from your sins, you know, I'm now completely at right with God. I now know that those sins are forgiven. They're washed away. They're no longer there in my life. And I feel free. I feel healed. I feel new hope. I can go out of the confessional and say, I'm starting afresh. And somehow I know that my relationship with God has been renewed in such a way that I can have a greater confidence in going forward. I'm alive again. I'm alive again.
That was Bishop Julian Porteous on forgiveness at the Alive Again Catechesis on the 25th of May 2012. And for more talks, visit cradio.org.au.